slowly adjusting to our live television broadcast here over the course of the last several months. Live television is sort of like having a boat or a camper. Something always goes wrong. Always, 100% of the time, but it seems like we're working it out. And I can see that y'all are sort of trying to make sure that there's a place to sit. There's some spots up here, too, if you want to come sit down, or a few more up here. And we're doing the best that we can to spread out, but pretty soon we're going to have to move above 50% occupancy, right, which is a great feeling to be back in church one with another. I know it will come as no surprise to those of you who know me that when I tell you that I love my job, I like the vast majority of the roles and tasks that I have as an Episcopal parish priest. And there's no doubt it is an eccentric job, especially in 2021, but I like the way it fits me. It feels good. And you know, one of the parts that I like most, and this will probably come as no surprise to you either, is preaching, but not just preaching. I like the role of the preacher in a parish, where I, as a priest or any of the rest of us who are preachers in this place, get to practice the craft of preaching, proclaiming the good news that Jesus embodies and teaches in the gospel. I like the role of the parish priest who gets to preach for the most part to the same constituency of people over time, weeks, months, and now years. And part of what I like about it is the challenge, right? Because let's be honest, any of us, almost all of us, can preach one good sermon. Maybe you don't think so, but let me assure you, you could. Given time and practice, preaching one good sermon, maybe one time or even time and time again, the same sermon at different times, it's not a terribly daunting task. It's just not, but the practice of assuming the pulpit week in and week out, month in and month out, year in and year out, creates a dynamic between us, you, y'all, and me, or Brian and Mary and me, and the story itself. And that dynamic is wonderful to me, in my mind and in my heart. And over time, the parish priest makes commentary on the same parts of the sacred story, and the church then responds to it at the door or over coffee or maybe a text or in the office or around the dinner table or on the trail or on the lift. And a relationship forms, a sort of Trinitarian relationship between y'all and me and the story, or maybe a better way to say it would be between my life and your life and the living word of the sacred text. We get to know each other in a way that's different than if we were sitting in a golf cart or in a drift boat or around a bridge table, or in a conference room, or at dinner. Sometimes the story narrates what life together looks like through this specific lens of faith. Other times, parts of the text are old-fashioned and unresponsive and offensive, even dead, not resonant, and we can look across pulpit and pew at one another and respond, "I don't think so, Pablo." I'm a nicknamer, and I like to call the Apostle Paul Pablo because I think it humanizes him a bit for me. He's the most vulnerable narrator for me when it comes to criticism. He says an awful lot of good, and then some of the things he says are just awful. So there's this dance that we create, you, y'all, me, and the Bible. And I like it. Maybe sometimes we accidentally step on each other's toes, but no big deal. Just means we're out there on the dance floor, sometimes graceful, sometimes sweaty, sometimes close. And I'm quite certain that if you dance with me, if we are dance partners, as I've described, then you have some real sense that this reading that we have from 1 John this morning, not the Gospel of John, but that epistle, 1 John, this reading that we have from 1 John, will you have some sense that this morning we are dancing my favorite tune? When the disciple writes, "Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love." I think, yep, there it is. That's it. Maybe we say it together, "For God is love." Say it with me, "For God is love." Is love. If you know me, you think, of course, that's what you're going to say this morning, Jimmy. You say it every time in all of your different sermons, which are really just one sermon. That's what you say. And I respond, okay, but it's not my idea. It's our dance partner's idea. The story's idea. The story literally says it here, and it says it non-literally almost everywhere else throughout the pages of the book. We know the nature and character of Rabbi Jesus, of Brother Jesus, is love incarnate. I don't mean to say he doesn't get testy from time to time. I don't mean to say that he's not serious about what he does. I mean to say that when you step back from Jesus and the story and his life and his teaching and his embodiment of the faith, it's love. It has love written all over it. And then something else happens in our dance every once in a while. As we are doing our dance, sometimes parts of the story cooperate with other parts of the story. And that's what I think we're working with here this morning. We've got my favorite tune, of course. And then from the Gospels, we've got this installment of one of the I am statements. You remember from last week, "I am the good shepherd." And this week we have, "I am the vine." And I was, of course, already in a good mood when I saw that 1 John was there. But when I see the "I am the vine" too, I'm like, yes, this is it. Yes. Maybe this requires a little bit more explanation. My enthusiasm. I like the idea that Jesus, God, who we know to be love, identifies as a vine. Jesus doesn't say, "I am a cornfield." He doesn't say, "I am a perfectly manicured hedge." He doesn't say, "I am a bonsai tree meticulously shaped." He doesn't say, "I am a Zen garden where everything has its place." He says, "I am the messiest, most confounding, tangled, sometimes thorny, other times fruity plant in the garden. I am rooted in the ground here, but I've grown this way and that way. I've become untethered here and vulnerable. And over there, I've wrapped myself around things so many times as needed to be pruned back. He says there are parts of me, parts of love, that are productive. And he says there are parts of me, parts of love, that are unproductive. Gosh, I like that. I like how these two tunes are in harmony with one another. God is love, and love is as tangled and confusing as a vine that is in some parts productive and other parts unproductive, thorny and wrapped around itself. I don't know about you, dance partner, but I know about me, and that rings true and clear to my experience. The embodiment of the faith, the God, love, life, the way of the cross, or just the way, is both clear and tangled. Sometimes it gets wrapped around itself, just like I can get wrapped around myself and accidentally step on your toes. And do we see that the story itself is guiding us to parts of the dance floor that we don't yet know well? Do you also see that the dance the story is guiding is always good and full and deep and fun and in service to creation and humanity and all the needs that we have? God is love, and love is messy and tangled and wrapped around itself and untethered and inefficient and beautiful and confounding and fun. So then what do we do with good news that is sometimes disruptive to those of us who want a place for everything and everything in its place? What do we do for those of us who seek simplicity and clarity and ease in all things? What do we do for those of us who want straight lines rather than crooked lines? For those of us who seek clear solutions rather than paradox. I suppose it's up to us to let go and let that third dance partner of ours lead. Let the story take us to places on the dance floor we wouldn't have otherwise ventured toward on our own. Suppose we focus our attention on the tune and on each other and just how good it is to be together. Perhaps we develop a disciplined trust with one another. When the story leads with, you say an eye for an eye, but I say love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We, you and I, maybe we look at each other willingly to give that part of the dance floor a try. These past days and weeks and months were anxious and uncertain. Many were just scary. Some were quite sad. and a few were shocking. And the story is still carrying us along. As the Christmas song sings, all is calm, all is bright.